a little bit about the Passover, especially the one in the reign of Josiah. So we'll look at this tonight. I want to read from 2 Kings 23, because it is the only passage concerning the Passover that is duplicated. The other Passovers are mentioned just once, but the one in the days of Josiah is mentioned briefly in 2 Kings 23, and then, as we shall see in 2 Chronicles 35, it is expanded. So in 2 Kings 23, verse 21, this is what it says in brief about the Passover in the days of Josiah. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. Surely there was not kept such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of King Josiah was this Passover kept to the Lord in Jerusalem. And if you say, it must have been a glorious occasion, I would like to know more about it. Well, turn to 2 Chronicles 35. Would you remember that so often you have a passage briefly mentioned in one gospel, but then explained at length in another? If I mentioned the temptation of our Savior, if you look in Mark's gospel, just a tiny bit. But if you look in Matthew and in Luke, a full account in comparison of the temptation of the Lord. So now, in chapter 35 of 2 Chronicles, it goes on for 19 verses, but they're long verses. But let me show you this. Turn to chapter 34, because I told you four distinct periods in the life of Josiah. God enumerates them. The first one, when he was 8 years old, the burden of being king was placed on his shoulders. When he was 16 years old, it says he began to seek the Lord. When he was 20 years old, he began to purge Jerusalem. And then, when he is 18, look at verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, that's when he's 26 years old, when he had purged the land and the house, then this is when the Passover is going to occur. I'll show you why. Now turn to chapter 35 and look at verse 19. It says, in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. So his life is divided into four parts. 8 years old when he began to reign. When he was 16 years old, he began to seek the Lord. When he was 20 years old, he began to purge the land of Israel of sin, idolatry. And when he was 26 years old, that is when he began to do positive things. So let's read a little bit. I may skip some. But in chapter 35, this is that Passover I read to you in brief in chapter 23 of 2 Kings. And Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their offices and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. And he said unto the Levites that taught all Israel that were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build, and so forth. And look at verse 4, the latter part, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon, his son. Now notice, they're to prepare themselves, verse 4, according to David, and Solomon. And now look at verse 12, the last part of it, as it is written in the book of Moses. So we have three guides telling them about the keeping of Passover. The first one in the book of Moses, the second, the writings of David, and the third, the writings of Solomon. I could just spend tonight reading different portions in the Bible telling you about the Passover, the particulars having to do with the Passover. But I'll just tell you a little more now about this Passover. So look down now at verse 5. It says, "And stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the fathers' houses of your brethren, the children of the people, and let there be for each a portion of a father's house of the Levites." Let me tell you a little bit about that. You'll find that the Levites were divided into courses, and the common people have to be attended to, and the king is determined that each of the common people of Israel have a portion of the Levites that take care of them. Verse 6, "And kill the Passover, and sanctify yourselves, and prepare for your brethren to do according to the word of the Lord by Moses." And Josiah, now please notice the impoverished condition of the people that were keeping the Passover. The Passover had to be kept with a lamb or a kid of the goats, and if they did not have it, the Passover could not be kept. So let's see what happened. Verse 7. "And Josiah gave to the children of the people of the flock lambs and kids, all of them for the Passover offerings, unto all that were present, to the number of 30,000, and 3,000 bullocks. These were the king's substance." This is beautiful. You have 30,000 that need sacrifices, and the king provides those sacrifices, in addition to 3,000 bullocks. But now notice, there are more. "And his princes gave for a freewill offering unto the people, to the priests and to the Levites, Hilkiah and Zechariah and Jehiel, the rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. Cananiah also, and Shemaiah, and Nethanel's his brethren, and Hashabiah, and Jael, and Jozabad, the chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites for the Passover offerings 5,000 small cattle and 500 oxen." What is of importance here is that even among, at that time, the laity, the priesthood, and the common people, you will find that some of the ordinary Levites did not have provisions, and some of the ordinary priests did not have provisions. And so those that were in a position of abundance gave to those that did not have. Keep that point in mind. Now, verse 10. "So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites by their courses, according to the king's commandment." Please notice, priests and Levites. Look down at verse 15. "And the singers, the son of Asaph, were in their place, according to the commandment of David, and Asaph, and Heman, and Jeduthun, the king's seers, and the porters were at every gate." So we have the priests, the Levites, the singers, the porters. All of them have their responsibilities, and they are in the proper place carrying out the function that is God ordained. All right. Now, look at verse 10 again. "The service was prepared, the priests, the Levites, by their courses, according to the king's commandment." Verse 11. "And they killed the Passover. And the priests sprinkled the blood which they received of their hand. And the Levites flayed them, skinned them." Let me bring out some points as we go along because I won't be able to explain it later. The difference between what was done with the blood when the temple was built and what was done with the blood at the first observance of the Passover. Even the children should remember that in Egypt, when the blood of the lamb was shed, it was caught in a basin, and hyssop was taken and dipped in the bowl, and then the blood was put on the doorposts and on the lintel. But they're not in Egypt anymore. They have a temple now, and there is the brazen altar, and the lamb is slain, and the blood is sprinkled round about the altar. So there was a specific place for the blood, but a different place in Egypt when it originated, and later on when God wanted the institution of the Passover to be continued among the children of Israel. Keep that in mind. All right. Now, look at verse 12. And they removed the burnt offerings that they might give them according to the divisions of the fathers' houses of the children of the people, to offer unto the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. And so did they with the oxen. Now, this is what is done with the lambs when they are sacrificed. Verse 13, and they roasted the Passover with fire, according to the ordinance, and the holy offerings boiled they in pots, and in cauldrons, and in pans, and carried them quickly to all the children of the people. This is interesting. Roast and boiled in different vessels. More about that later, perhaps. 14. And afterward they prepared for themselves and for the priests. Now, this is a very touching notice. Here are the servants of God, and they are so busy taking care of the people, and they are taken care of first. Then they start taking care of themselves. It says, to all the children of the people, and afterward they prepared for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the son of Aaron, were busied in offering the burnt offerings and the fat until night. Therefore the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the son of Aaron. This is delightful. They keep on doing the only things that they can do. Remember that only the Levites and the priests were permitted to carry out these functions when it came to the offering of animal sacrifices. And the priests could only do things that pertained to the blood. Now, the Levites could skin the animals. The Levites could take the blood and give it to the priests, but the priests had to do the sprinkling of the blood. So each one had his responsibility. And because of this, there was not enough time, because of the thousands that were observing the Passover, they did not have time to stop. It went on until night. But they were not forgotten, and when the people were taken care of, then the priests and the Levites themselves were taken care of. Now, here is an additional thing that is most interesting. Verse 15, and the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place, according to the commandment of David, and Asaph, and Heman, and Jeduthun, the king's seer, and the porters were at every gate. Do you remember that scripture in Psalm 84? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Well, here are the porters, the doorkeepers. So we have those that have the privilege of being closest to the Lord, and we have those that are next closest, and then we have those that are next, and finally we have the doorkeepers, those on the very outside, but all of them are servants of God. So think of this as it speaks in 1 Corinthians 12, the body of Christ has many parts. Some are in a prominent position, others in less prominent positions, but the porter had a responsibility as much as the priest, and the singers, and the Levites. and each one attended to his duty. And think how easy it would have been, hour after hour, to say, look, I have to be relieved. I cannot keep doing this. But there were other people that needed to have assistance rendered to them. It's like in our Savior's life. It said they had no time, no, not so much as to eat. So at times, the service of the God required that. Only time I can ever remember it is when we used to go to Fayetteville, and the servicemen kept coming in and in, and you would witness to one, and there would be another one that would come in. And finally, after ever so long, when the servicemen were few, then we would go out for something to eat. But here, it was so busy that while they were doing the work, they were taken care of, and they were busy unto the night. All right? Notice verse 16. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place according to the commandment of David, and the porters were at every gate. They needed not to depart from their service, for their brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. That's a noble thing to do. If someone is so engaged in doing the work of God that they do not have an opportunity to care for themselves, then those that do have spare time and do have the ability, let them come and minister to them. Verse 16. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did any of the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and all and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. All right, I give you as many details and other information as I can. But remember, little Josiah, 8 years old, is now 26 years old. And he says, we're going to keep the Passover. And I have no doubt that just as when the book of the law, and you remember how the book of the law was found, and look at verse in chapter 34, verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And this book is brought and read. And when it happens, look at verse 19. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. And then he says, what is to be done? And then he learns from the word of God the things that were being done that were wrong, and he put an end to those. But then the positive side is that there were other responsibilities that were not being done, that had been neglected, that were to be done. So there are two kinds of sins. There are things that you should do that you have not done, and there are things that you should not do that you do do. So for that reason, two things impressed themselves upon the heart of Josiah. First, he saw what was wrong, and that smote him to the heart. And then he saw what had been neglected, the Passover. And so that's how our lives should be. So many Christians are negative Christians. They can find everything that is wrong and tell you to stop committing this sin and committing that sin. And so your life is ridded of sin if you find everything that God's word tells you not to do and you stop doing it. But then there are other things that God tells you to do positively, and unless those things are present in your life, you have an empty life. And some Christians are that way. They are negative, legalistic Christians. Now, if their legalism said we're to keep the Passover, that's a different thing. But most of the time, they're not concerned with the Passover itself, but all the attendant things that should not be done at the Passover. Those things are necessary. But Here is Josiah. And thank God for a man who, when he reads in the Bible that he's doing something wrong, his heart is smitten, and he stops doing what is wrong. And he reads that this feast is to be kept. And he calls all Israel, and he says, keep the Passover. Now, what is of interest is this. You would think that the priests and the Levites would have been the ones to inaugurate again the keeping of the Passover. Because in the days of the wicked kings, Manasseh, Ammon, the other kings, perhaps they were neglected. You find out that the feasts of the Lord were corrupted in the days of Jeroboam. And now I will tell you this, in the whole of the Old Testament, there are only 6 Passovers that are ever mentioned, and then a 7th Passover that is yet to be kept. And I will tell you these Passovers because they should be compared to learn how there is a progression according to the commands of God and how things differ as years go along. Please notice, it is still the Passover, the same Passover, but different particulars pertain to the Passover because times have changed. If I ask you this, when the Lord's Supper was first instituted and observed, was it ever observed after the Lord went back to heaven the same way it was when he was on earth? You say, of course not. He wasn't here. The Lord is in heaven. That's right. And who gave thanks for the bread? You say the Lord did. And who gave thanks for the cup? You say the Lord did. But now the Lord is in heaven. And Paul says in Corinthians, the cup of blessing which we bless. And now it is blessed by God's people. The elements have thanks given for them by the people of God. And they were in an upper room. But now, when it said that the multitudes came to be thousands and thousands, how could you get them all in that upper room? You say, you couldn't. You have larger groups of people. And how many women were present at that first Lord's Supper? You say, none. But later, there were women. And so changes took place. But please notice that any change that did take place was in accordance with what was written in the Word of God. And I think perhaps I should show you this. Turn to 1 Chronicles. Don't lose your place. But 1 Chronicles chapter 28, because it mentions, according to the writing of Moses, we say yes, we know that God spoke to Moses. But now, the Passover that we read about in Exodus 12 in the book of Moses is nothing like this Passover we read about in 2 Chronicles 35. And this is what we are told, according to the writing of Moses, yes, and of David, and of Solomon. And so in 1 Chronicles 28, let's look at verse 19. Concerning this, look at verse 11, first of all, 28:11 of 1 Chronicles. Then David gave to Solomon, the son, his son, the pattern of the porch of the temple. Keep that in mind. Now, look at verse 19. All this, said David, have I been made to understand in writing from the hand of the Lord, even all the works of this pattern. Now, do you see? David says, things are to be changed now that there was a temple. But it was not David who changed them. And the temple that was to be built, it was not David just saying, oh, I think I'll build a temple this way, any more than it was Moses who said, I think I'll build a tabernacle this way. Moses was told to build the tabernacle according to the pattern that was showed thee in the mount, and the pattern that is given to Solomon by David, we read in verse 19. All of this have I been made to understand in writing from the hand of the Lord, even all the works of this pattern. And then you'll find, turn back to chapter 25, chapter 25, moreover, verse 1, David and the captains of the host set apart for the service certain of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps and psalters and with cymbals, and the number of them, and so forth. So here is the service of song. And David instituted that and many other things. And he said, all of this I have from the Lord. That is what is of the greatest importance. So now in chapter 35, look at verse 10, just this. 35:10. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites, verse 15, and the singers, I just read you about that in chapter 25 of 1 Chronicles, the sons of Asaph were in their place according to the commandment of David. So David got this from the Lord, and it says, and the porters were at every gate. So all of this that's going on, and the changes that took place, were ordained of God. Now that's all we'll have time for tonight. Time is gone. Let's pray. Now Father, we are thankful that having delivered us, you would have us to commemorate this deliverance. The children of Israel, slaves in Egypt, delivered, but then every year to commemorate that deliverance. And our Father, your Son's body and blood have resulted in our being freed from the bondage of sin. And your Son has said, this do in remembrance of me. We thank you, Father, that you have ordained these feasts, these observances. And we pray that whereas you tell us we shall not kill and we shall not steal and shall not bear false witness, we pray that we shall accept from thee the things that should not be done, but then the positive things, such as Moses was told, keep the Passover, and Josiah, keep the Passover, and the Lord Jesus, this do in remembrance of me. We pray, Father, that we shall be obedient positively as well as negatively. So bless these truths to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.